We're checking in on the injury status of the Buffalo Bills today on Locked On Bills.
You are Locked On Bills, your daily Buffalo Bills podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, Bills Mafia? It's Joe Marino from the Draft Network, and I'm your host of Locked On Bills. Happy Friday to you, and thank you for making Locked On Bills your first listen every day, or if you're joining us on the YouTube channel, your first watch every day. Today, we're going to have a conversation that is a bit overdue. We're going to talk about the injury status of the Buffalo Bills. A lot of players that were on the team last year that are rehabbing from injuries, talking about Trey White and Ike Bocker and a couple of other players where some things have popped up this offseason. Want to talk about the new players, the new veteran players that the Bills added to this football team in the offseason and kind of get caught up to speed on their injury status. And then, of course, the draft picks that the Bills made. What's the injury situation there? What do we need to know about when it comes to injuries? And folks, I'm not a doctor. I can't talk about injuries like my guy, Kyle Trimble. Dr. Kyle Trimble can talk about injuries. You guys should know who he is if you've listened to this podcast before. It's Dr. Kyle Trimble of bangedupbills.com. He is the guy. He is the one who can talk about injuries. And for anybody that's new to this podcast, you will become familiar with Dr. Kyle Trimble because every Friday of game weeks. Now, listen, we're going to have to figure this out because the Bills play all kinds of weird games this year, weird days and times. But the day before the game, usually Kyle and I will get together and we'll talk about the injury report and make sure that everybody knows what's going on with every player, their status, what the long-term implications are and all that stuff. But, you know, we need to catch up at some point during the offseason to get caught up. And that's what we're going to do today here and really get a good understanding of the injury status of the Buffalo Bills right now. So welcome, Dr. Kyle Trimble. And it's good to be back talking with you. And, you know, soon enough, we'll be getting ready for games.
Joe, it is good to see you. It is good to hear you. I'm glad to be back talking with everybody on Locked On Bills.
Yes, and yeah, I appreciate you being here because you can meet a need that I can't, right? I know injuries from football. I have my own thoughts, but you're the doctor of physical therapy. You can do this a lot better than I can. And so I think the question on everyone's mind, or at least on my mind, and selfishly, I'll take advantage of this opportunity to pick your brain in the way that I want to. I want to know about Trey White because I've sat here on this podcast for the last several months and we've talked about Trey White and I've said ACL tears are 9 to 12 month recoveries and his surgery was in December and that puts him in jeopardy for the start of the season. Get us caught up to speed on Trey White from a rehab perspective and then just like expectations. You know, there's a chance he could start the year on the PUP list that puts him out 6 weeks. We know that the Bills are cautious with injuries, so what's going on with Trey White? What can we realistically expect? And then as you apply your knowledge of the Bills and how they handle injuries, what can you speculate about Trey White and when he'll be back on the field for this team?
So according to the team, he's on schedule.
Yeah, I've heard now, that.
Yes, we've heard that all too much there, which makes it tough for us to find out more what's going on with him. But we know the general ACL rehab protocols. We know there are accelerated versions. We know he has some of the best training facilities available to him. We know that they're doing everything they can to get him ready, but you can't speed up biology. So we know that he wants to be out there as soon as we can, or as soon as he can. We know that those guys push. We saw Harrison Phillips, Trent Murphy, anybody else that suffered an ACL tear, they want to get back out there as soon as they can. But he's going to be very, very close to that 9 month window, that finish line, if you will, to where we see guys can start to come back. Historically, we don't see guys come back before 9 months in the NFL. And that 9 month mark is right at around where the beginning of the season starts at there. So kickoff is September 8th and his surgery is back on December 16th, you know, give or take, leap day here or there, 31st, you know, all the extra days in the months there. So it's gonna be very close. It's just going to come down to what the team is comfortable with and what they can do. You know, most of the first part of the season before the bye is a lot of AFC opponents, and they have to be mindful of that. Whether he starts on the PUP list, I see him potentially starting on the PUP list until they know that he can pass a physical and they're not in a rush to get him out there if they want to look at other guys before he counts toward the roster and everything else with that. So I expect to see him activate at some point during training camp. And then the Bills could do a few different things. If they don't feel he's ready, they could get him to the active roster, because we've seen that happen where in order to play it during the season, you have to be made the 53-man roster, then be put on IR. You can't go IR in the preseason then carry over with that. So do keep that in mind. So he has to make the active roster, and then he could sit for a few games or work in slowly, or they might put him on IR and then let him kind of get ready until he's up to speed past that 9-month mark. So I wish I could tell you more with what's going on. They know what's going on, but I think when they do the objective testing closer into July and where they're seeing how he's feeling and moving, then they'll know more about that. So I know he wants to be out there and they're pushing for it, but they also don't want to risk having him suffer an injury and suffer a re-injury to the area, because he's worth a lot of money and worth a lot to the team. So they find if you return sooner than 9 months, there's a significant greater increase to tear your ACL comparatively to even after you wait after 9 months.
Couple of follow-up thoughts that I have here. First of all, my prediction with Trey White is that we see him after the bye. That's just my guess. I think the Bills play six games before the bye, week seven bye. And they bring him back after that. That's my guess. That's just a guess.
It's a good guess.
You introduced two names there, Kyle, that I'm glad you did, but I'm also nervous because you brought up the names Trent Murphy and Harrison Phillips. And for Harrison Phillips, I felt like even when he was back, he wasn't back, right? It took a lot of time for him to become effective again. And I think you can argue that Trent Murphy never recovered from his ACL tear. Mm-hmm. Cornerback is a stopwatch position, right? That's the one where the athleticism, movement skills, all of that really, really, really matters. And I'm not saying that Trey White isn't going to return to his form. But even Sean McDermott said, we have to be realistic about Trey White and what he's going to do in his first season back from an ACL tear. And we're talking about, you know, a team that we want to see go as deep as you can into the postseason, playing in February. All right, what do you think, man? I mean, I gave you my prediction. I brought up those two names, and now I don't really feel like they recovered. Harrison, maybe like later on. What should we be expecting here?
I'm thinking the thought that if he can come back and play at a Levi Wallace level, I'm okay with that. I mean, we've seen how Trent Murphy and Harrison Phillips both had a year to recover because they suffered both their injuries very early in the season or preseason, and they still weren't quite up to full speed after that. So it's going to take them a while for Tre'Davious White to get back up to speed, and he doesn't have the extra time that those two had, you know, an additional 3-4 months there. So it's going to take some time for him to get back up to speed, and he has to react to what he's seeing. So don't expect Pro Bowl status, all pro status from him, but I still expect a improving player throughout the season as we go on.
Now, Trey White was obviously the headliner, but Ike Bocker is recovering from the Achilles injury. And I think it's probably a good sign that the Bills brought him back, right? Like, they know the player, they know the injury, they know where he's at. To me, it's a good sign for Ike. But, you know, again, late season injury, you know, the timetable here might be funky. He could be a player that starts the year on the PUP. What do you have for us on Ike Bocker?
I agree. He has a higher chance he's going to start on the PUP just because they're slower to come back. He also had surgery actually closer to the new year because he has suffered week 16 there. So he can come back and play, but he's probably going to start on the PUP list as they start getting him back. And what's concerning about him, though, I have a theory with him, is some of the Instagram pictures he's had on the site recently, he's been in the boot. But the past two ones I've seen where he was working into the facility on, you know, it's a long walk from the parking lot to the entrance doors. So he probably didn't want to try to walk there with the ankle, how it was, or the Achilles, I should say. And then he was seen in a wedding pictures and whatnot. He had the boot on. And my thought was he didn't want to go out there, potentially hurt it, try to dance, or he didn't want to be walking around all the time and it potentially hurt it or get it sore. So that was probably more of a protective mechanism, but he should be out of the boot for all other activities at this point. He's going to have a tough time really moving large humans around and preventing them from moving him around. It takes time. We have seen guys come back pretty quickly. Eric Fisher of the formerly the Colts or the Chiefs and now the Colts. But he was kind of average at best from what we saw in the Colts. So guys can come back and play with it. It's not a death sentence anymore, but it's just, he's going to be a reserve guy, and I went rushing back out there.
So this is why I love you, Dr. Kyle Trimble. It's not just the information that you have. It's that you scour the internet, right? You're going through Instagram to see what this guy's doing at weddings and how he's walking to the facility. That's why, I mean, look, those are the things that you're looking for in these pictures and in, you know, any video that comes through that helps give you the insight to give us the insight so we can understand things better, because we know Sean McDermott, this guy, is tight-lipped as they come with injuries. It was funny. He was, you know, he did his press conference earlier this week, I think on Tuesday, and It was like the Bills' first OTAs, and, you know, somebody asked him about injuries, and he's like, you could just tell, he's like, don't ask me about injuries. I'm not telling you anything. I don't have to tell you anything. He's like, you'll know when you get on the field. You'll see who's playing and who's not. And so he did give some indication that something was happening with Spencer Brown, the Bills' right tackle, and then, of course, Dawson Knox. He said they're dealing with a little something, and that, you know, he's, you know, thinks that they're going to be good for training camp. But obviously everything's very, very vague right now. And, you know, Spencer Brown has kind of that history of back stuff that, you know, even popped up last year as a rookie. And, you know, Dawson Knox is, you know, look, last year was pretty good, except for he did break his hand. Every year he's had a few injuries. So what can you tell us, or at least speculate, when it comes to Dawson Knox and Spencer Brown?
Dawson Knox, I don't have anything on. I looked and just trying to see if there's anything that could have lingered from the end of the season. That hand that he suffered, the broken hand, wasn't anything that would worry about. There wasn't anything that I saw that he's been doing. He was playing the charity softball game. He's been doing West Hare commercials. He's been doing all sorts of stuff. So it could have just something that's, hey, this isn't important, we're going to hold off on this. And then as for Spencer Brown, my first thought was the back. Did he have a microdiscectomy? Did he have something else cleaned out in there? But there's a few clues on Instagram. I swear I don't stalk these people, but I do go.
We appreciate it.
Yes.
Thank you. And yeah, I was thinking a microcondiscectomy as well, you know, that, to be honest with you, that's exactly what I was thinking too.
So, but we know that he didn't have that because he was playing the charity softball game. He's been traveling on the plane. He had that great tweet about the lady escaping from the plane over the emergency chute. So like just some of the stuff we're seeing, and I don't believe that he had a back thing, or at least a back surgery, because that would have, I think, been reported at some point. And then we also see that, like when he was doing autograph signings, he was out there playing the softball game. He didn't have any type of bracing on. He didn't have any swelling in the knees or the ankles from what I could see on the pictures. I don't know what he would have had that he required. It could have been something totally unrelated. It could have been, I don't know, tonsils for all we know. It just, there wasn't anything that suggests there was something more going on. So like my first thought was back, but I don't have anything from that saying that that's what's going on, which is a good thing.
I need to tell you guys about our new partner, Athletic Greens. I started taking Athletic Greens because I wanted to see what all the hype was about. So what is this stuff? With one delicious scoop of Athletic Greens, you're absorbing 75 high quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help you start your day right. This special blend of ingredients supports your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, recovery, focus, and aging. It supports everything. I take it to jumpstart my day, and it gives me more energy and balances my diet in a simple way. Tons of people take some kind of multivitamin, and it's important to choose one with high-quality ingredients that your body will actually absorb. AG1 is just one small microhabit with big benefits. It's one thing you can do every single day to take great care of yourself. Athletic Greens is critical for my daily routine. It supports better sleep quality and recovery. It supports better mental clarity and alertness. Right now, it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. It's just one scoop of water every day. That's it. No need for a million different pills and supplements to look out for your health. You just put a scoop of it in a cup of water every day. And to make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/NFL Network. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/NFL Network to take control over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. So, Kyle, let's shift our focus to the new veteran additions to this team. And there's been a lot of new players added and a lot of players that I'm curious about. I want to start with Von Miller, big-time signing, 6 years, $120 million. You know, he's going to be the closer for this football team. I'm thrilled about Von Miller. And he's had a pretty good career when it comes to not being injured, except for, of course, the 2020 season where he missed the whole thing with what a lot of – not what a lot of people – what what doctors are telling us was kind of a freak situation, whatever happened with that ankle. But otherwise, he's been healthy, you know, played like almost 80% of the snaps last year for the Rams and the Broncos. There's high expectations for Von Miller, but what do we need to know from an injury perspective about the new addition to the Bills?
The biggest thing, like you said, was the ankle. He suffered that back in 2020, and what it was a peroneal tendon dislocation. So this is one of the tendons that kind of wraps around the backside of the ankle, and this allows the foot to move outside. If you like, if you twist your foot outward and plantar flex the foot down. So like you point down and point away. So if you don't have that ability to do that, you can't do those movements, or it's more difficult to do those movements. And then that also acts as a ankle stabilizer from letting the ankle roll inward during ankle sprain. So it kind of acts as a balance there. So when you don't have that, you can still move around, but then your ankle's kind of just more floppy and it just doesn't want to respond as well there. So there's no concerns with any of that stuff. I at the time when I published the article on Buffalo Rumblings, I couldn't find any research to support what was going on, and I found some stuff later. It was like a 2% reoccurrence that he could suffer a further injury with that. So I'll take 2% any day for a Hall of Fame rusher. And then Joe Biscaglia, like, did an incredible article digging into how Von Miller bends around the edge and stuff. And like, I read that, I go, if there's any concerns about Von Miller's ankle, they were all dispelled with Joe's article. So like, you have to go check that out if you have any concerns about it. So that was the biggest thing, and I have no concerns with that. And then Von Miller tore his ACL back in 2013, and he's been dinged up here and there, but there's no long-term concerns, and he thinks he can go through 6 years of that contract. I realistically think he can with how he's taking care of his body.
Yeah, I'm here for it. Deion Dawkins the other day said that he was like water. He was so fluid when he was watching him stretch, and how he can maintain that speed through tight, steep angles. I mean, the guy is unbelievably flexible. You know, from a draft perspective, when we talk about fluidity and flexibility and bend, Von Miller's the poster boy. And so I can't wait to watch him rush for the Bills, and glad to know that we don't really have much to be concerned about from an injury perspective. Now, one player that I'll be honest with you, I'm a little bit concerned about Roger Saffold, and I'm excited about Roger Saffold, but you know, this guy had a shoulder problem last year, and I don't know if it was a situation where he just didn't rehab it correctly or get the rest or whatever he needed, but you know, he didn't finish a lot of games last year. You know, coming out of games late, you know, just couldn't finish. I'm excited about Saffold. You know, I think he could be a big boost to the interior of this line, but I would be lying if I wasn't a little concerned about that. What can you tell us?
So I love doing what I'm doing here. I love talking with you. I love doing the injury analysis, something like that. But every once in a while, you get a player who you do dig into the injury history and you hate it. Roger Saffold was one of those people. I'm sure the guy's a great guy, but he has a lengthy injury history. He has been very durable over the past several years, which is worth noting. But he had a long history of labrum tears, MCL sprains. In fact, one of those labrum tears caused him to fail a physical with the Rams back about 5 or 6 years ago. Or early on. So he was signing a contract with them, and that's what caused him to fail. And he went back to the Rams. So he's been pretty durable since then. And then the issue he had last year was it described as a nerve injury. So basically he kept on getting nerve contusions, or there's some type of stretching out in there. So he kept on just getting everything aggravated and couldn't really let it rest. So in the off season, I'm sure he did the rehabbing that he was necessary to do. And then he had to just let things rest and kind of calm down. You got to get the inflammation on your body and just kind of work through and just reestablish everything that's going on. So, yeah, I don't want to say it was a stinger, but it kind of was, and it just kind of kept on reoccurring there. So it wasn't coming from the neck per se, but it's probably something more down in the brachial plexus, where it kind of comes down through the shoulder, and that's the area that innervates all the muscles of the arm and hand and whatnot there. So he's been pretty clean over the past several years. Other than that, it's just something you kind of have to watch and make sure. But he's on a year contract, and these kind of guys in the years past would have been signed for 2, 3, 4 years, and that's where the Bills were bit with the dead money. So if he doesn't work out, you know, nothing lost, but he's had a lot of injuries.
Yeah, there's no way around it, and I think that's why I've talked a lot about Cody Ford, and you know, obviously very interesting that Tommy Doyle's getting some reps at guard, and Greg Manns is on this team. And so, you know, I think the Bills have some contingencies built in, but you know, certainly if they can have a healthy Roger Saffold, I mean, That's a big boost to this offensive line, and that's certainly what I'm hoping for. And hoping that the shoulder in particular that was the problem last year was just a matter of him not taking the time necessary to rest, because it sounds like this guy works really, really hard. And to his credit, he's played a lot of football, and he's, you know, into his mid-30s at this point. So, you know, he's working hard, but he certainly has some concerns there. Let's move on to a few other players that the Bills brought in. Let's go to Jamison Crowder, a slot wide receiver. I think we've all been aware of the potential that he has in the slot and at wide receiver in general for this team. But it feels like the only thing that's really stopped Crowder throughout his career has been some injuries. And, you know, I think he's going to be excited about playing with a quarterback like Josh Allen. But, you know, he hasn't necessarily had very good, consistent quarterback play either. So Jamison Crowder, injuries, what do you got for us?
He's a guy that's the definition of soft tissue injuries. He just, it's constant groin injury, calf injury, hamstring injury. It just, he's a play through things. And the other specific history injury was a ankle injury, right ankle injury in 2018 with Washington, and suffered ligament damage along with a bone bruise. So it sounded like it was a pretty severe high ankle sprain from what I had interpreted. But his story of soft tissue injuries. And the big thing was he was the only option for the Jets, and he was one of the top options for the Washington Commanders. So, like, if there wasn't him, who else was playing? And then looking back at snap counts, he was seeing upwards of 80% of the snaps in games over a season he played with the Jets there. Saw over 70% with Washington. So I compared him to Cole Beasley when you were talking in terms of snap counts. Now, I know they played different snaps and everything else compared with the teams there, but Beasley only saw a maximum of 73% snaps in a game or in a season when he was with the Bills, and that was in 2019. So you saw them better use Beasley, and he did have his injuries, but a lot less injuries than Crowder did. So I think that if Crowder can get more time to be healthy, work in the facility, and then be used a little more efficiently, we should see those injuries drop. I mean, he's not going to be eliminating the injuries, but we should see the recurrence of those reduce.
Is it fair to say that the Bills typically do a good job with the soft tissue stuff? I feel like they've been innovative with their approach and how they handle players, and they, you know, load management, sports sciences, all that stuff. Like, as I think about the Bills and the rest of the NFL, which I'm dialed in to all of it, I feel like the Bills are good at handling soft tissue injuries. Am I right on that?
I would say so. They can't prevent all of them. It's football. Right. It's a very physical sport. But what I do see is you're not seeing a recurrence of those injuries later on. Like, you know, Matt Milano is a great one with hamstrings. He might suffer hamstring every season, but he's not dealing with that later on during the season. And with Crowder, he'd have that injury linger all season. So I think if we do see Crowder suffer that injury, it's almost expected, but I don't think it's going to linger like in past seasons.
Yeah. Let's talk about O.J. Howard, new tight end addition to this team. Off the charts ability and physical skill. Injuries have been a problem for him recently. You know, I think that's why he was available for the one-year, $3 million deal that he signed with the team. What do you got for us on O.J. Howard?
He's another guy that's just been beat up over the years. And, you know, he managed to catch – you know, some success when Tom Brady showed up in Tampa Bay, but he had, you know, high ankle sprains, MCL sprains, stuff that's knocked him out of most of the seasons he played, and just a foot fracture at some point too. So he was never really able to finish seasons. And then the big thing was in 2020 with his right Achilles tear, he suffered in week four. So, you know, we've talked about that with Achilles with the Eichbach curve, but they're just really tough to come back from. And we see the production decrease significantly in that first season back. And then some guys can regain back that mobility. I mean, we saw Cam Akers. He was a walking miracle from what he was doing. And we've had this discussion about, you know, that being the death knell for running backs. So the Achilles isn't always the death knell for every other position there, but it's still an explosive position at tight end. But I love his signing in that I think that he's not going to be used a whole bunch. And he did do pretty decent with the Bucs last year. But if he does anything at all, it's a win. And if he doesn't, once again, 1 year deal. And he's exactly the same thing as I said with Saffold. Those guys would have to be brought on 2-3-4 year deals. And that's where it would screw up the cap in past years. So I love this Howard signing, you know, and if we get anything out of him, great.
Last player from a new veteran addition perspective that I want to get into is Jordan Phillips. and you know, 2 years away from Buffalo. And to me, his time in Arizona was defined by injuries. I mean, he played more snaps with the Bills in 2019 on a, you know, in a defensive line that, as we know, Sean McDermott rotates him. He played more snaps in 2019 with the Bills than he did in two seasons with the Arizona Cardinals after signing a pretty sizable deal to go to Arizona. Obviously, they wanted him to be a big part of that defense. He wasn't healthy. So what do you think about him coming back, and you think about his injury history and, you know, what he can give the Bills this year?
Over the past two seasons, he missed 16 games. I mean, they played, you know, 33 games over the past two seasons. He's missed half of them, and they were hamstring strain, back injury, MCL, knee sprain. That's concerning. I mean, did he fall off a cliff? Did the Cardinals just not have the ability to treat him well medically? I mean, there's a whole bunch of questions we don't have the answers for, but it just, he was doing okay, had some injuries here and there with Miami and Buffalo, and then just seemed like everything went over, you know, a big waterfall or cliff or whatever, you know, analogy you want to use. So I think that if he gets back into rotation and he's used more sparingly and situational stuff, then I think he could, you know, resume that healthy play. And I don't think he's gonna get 9.5 sacks because there's so many more talented players ahead of him. But if he does what he does, half of what he does did back when he was last year, we'll be okay with that. But I wasn't super impressed with the signing because of all the other stuff we had done, but hey, he's a great depth guy and he should stay healthy based off of what we saw here versus in the, with the Cardinals.
Yeah. I'm optimistic about, like, I can see how somebody could listen to the conversation that we just had about all these new players and like have some level of disappointment and, you know, concern. But I think the silver lining is that the Bills do a really, really good job of managing their players and allowing them to have their best opportunities to avoid injuries. And the Bills have brought in players with injury stuff in the past, and it's not an issue in Buffalo. And so maybe you're like listening to this and thinking, wow, this is not great. Just, I guess, trust in what this Bills team has shown under Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott to be able to allow players to stay healthy. You know, that's been, the Bills have been really fortunate. I know Trey White, that whole situation last year was not great, but for the most part, the Bills have been a very, very healthy football team.
Absolutely. And the key thing with that is the Bills will take risks in free agency because they get guys who have been proven producers in the league. So they take a risk on them if they're okay with the injury issues, if they can get them through 1 year, 2 year contract, whatever it is there. So keep that in mind. So I don't want to sound doom and gloom. I want to highlight some of the concerns, but they've hit the bullseye more than they've missed over, you know, since Brandon Bean's been here.
So let's talk now about the draft picks, or some of the draft picks that the Bills made, and particularly the early picks that they made, and maybe we can get into some philosophy type stuff, because I think it's interesting to kind of contrast their risk, their appetite for risk when it comes to injuries and draft picks and injuries and veterans that they bring into the team. But we got to start with the Bills' first round pick, Kaiir Elam, the cornerback out of Florida. As far as I know, he just kind of had that knee thing this past year that I guess impacted him a little bit. He missed some time, but overall, I don't know if there's much to be concerned about with Kaiir Elam.
No, there isn't. Just going back, he's had two known injuries, suffered a hamstring strain and a playoff loss in high school in 2018. And then he suffered that right knee sprain you just mentioned in 2020 against Alabama. And he missed three games, which I don't think are huge things. You know, Tennessee, Kentucky, Vanderbilt, Alabama's going to roll over those guys without him anyway. So we know MCL sprains, they tend to take a little bit longer than 3 weeks, but I'm sure he wanted to get back out there and was feeling good enough. So I think that's where he could have taken more time, but he probably wasn't 100% and said, I got to still, you know, go out there and play. So it was a big deal. And I will highlight that MCL sprains of combine prospects in the NFL, you know, coming in, 40.8% of participants had a history of MCL sprain at some point. So this is one of the most common injuries you see in football players in general. So for him to have that isn't a concern for me. And then, you know, hamstrings and knee sprain are the two most common injuries in training camps. So like, he's had common injuries. I mean, if you don't have a guy that's had that injury at some point, well, either he's not playing or he's some type of miracle. So I'm not worried about Elam at all.
Yeah, I can speak from experience as somebody who sprained my MCL two different times. It was 3 weeks, both occasions. And now once I was only playing basketball, like adult pickup, not pickup. It was adult, like it was like a league. I was in a league. And just before the season, I had an MCL sprain. But don't worry, I rehabbed and I was ready on opening night for my team. But I did have to miss one game in high school because of an MCL sprain. But I was fortunate. We had somehow, for some reason, we had back-to-back bye weeks. Like, that's super weird. Mm-hmm. But we did. We had back-to-back bye weeks, and then I missed the next game against Indian Land High School. And so there you go. There's a bunch of information nobody cared about, but I felt like I wanted to share. Other draft picks. Let's talk about James Cook. I kind of have a two-part question here with Cook. First of all, just what do you have on injuries? But then second of all, and look, I'm sorry that I didn't really prepare you or tell you that I was going to ask you this, but what thoughts do you have about the workload that he had in college, which was pretty light? You know, he was part of a committee approach, a lot of good players. And you know, let's face it, Georgia won a lot of football games. They weren't necessarily playing their best players deep into games very often. So this guy hasn't necessarily had to carry the load or even a significant load at any point. So what do you have on the injuries with Cook? And then secondly, what are your thoughts about just kind of onboarding him in how the Bills should approach acclimating him and getting him going in this offense, and to what level of a workload do you think we can anticipate?
Okay. So Cook, he's been pretty minor as well too. His biggest injury is he had a right ankle injury that forced him to miss a Sugar Bowl in 2019. It was really unclear what happened, but it sounded like it, he suffered the injury in practice and it wasn't getting better because there was a nice long break between, you know, the SEC title game and then the, you know, bowl games, things like that there. So it sounds like it wasn't getting better. And the way the phrasing was from Kirby Smart at Georgia, it sounded like he had a tightrope surgery because so it basically sounds like he had a high ankle sprain. There was a thought of possibly a fracture in there at some point, but the tightrope, surgery we saw with Zach Moss a few years ago, and they have really good results now. We see that, you know, with Alabama guys and just coming more mainstream. So that's been the biggest thing. And then rib injury, right shoulder injury. I mean, he plays running back. He's going to get hit. So I'm not concerned about with him. And then with his workload, that's a good question because we saw Devin Singletary. He came in with, like, I think 700 plus carries coming out of I think Florida Atlantic, if I recall correctly. Mm-hmm. So he didn't have any injuries from what I recall initially, and he's still been pretty durable. And of course, conversely, you see where Cook doesn't have a ton of injuries, but not a ton of workload. So I'm looking at the point of, if you didn't have a ton of injuries in college, there's a greater chance you're not going to have a ton of injuries in the pros. So if he had had a ton of injuries in the college game and he didn't have a ton of carries, I'd be more concerned. So it's like, you know, both levels are low. We'll keep it that way. He's going to get banged up in the pros, I'm sure, but how to work him in. I mean, they keep talking about he's going to be a pass catching back, and you have so many other guys to work in. You know, Zach Moss, who I don't know that he's a great option to make the team, but I don't think they're going to cut him either with how cheap. And, you know, he's certainly an option knows the offense, and they got Duke Johnson and, you know, get some other guys out of there. So like, work him in slowly. You don't need him to take the bulk of the carries and everything else right away. So work with what you got and, you know, risk or minimize the risk and exposure.
The last draft pick that I want to ask you about is the Bills' third round pick, Terrell Bernard out of Baylor. And I know he's got a lot of stuff, so I'll let you dig into that. But I think what's interesting about this player, and I want to say this so that you can kind of weave it into your responses. One thing that we've learned about Sean McDermott through this draft pick of Terrell Bernard is that he's got a really tight relationship with Baylor head coach Dave Aranda. And so, for all the stuff that you're about to say when it comes to injuries, you know, I know that the Bills have done their homework and have done so at the highest level, where Sean McDermott and Dave Aranda have had conversations. And through that, there has to be some level of comfort with Bernard and what he can bring to this team. And we know that your best ability is your availability, and the Bills wouldn't pick them in the third round if they didn't feel like this guy, you know, could be durable and help the team. But, you know, he certainly has some concerns based on the past.
So I will say I was a little biased going into his injury analysis because I saw your reaction to his pick, you know, it went viral and everything, but I still dug into him. And like I mentioned with Saffold, you know, like you dig into guys, he was looking at Bernard's stuff, the more I dug, the more I found out. I was like, man, this isn't good. But we'll get into why it could be good here. So he played in 45 games at Baylor. He missed 17 games. He's a tough guy, though. He suffered a right foot fracture in 2017, the season ending. He played all 14 games in 2019, based off a broken right hand in November. They required surgery, played with a cast on that there. He suffered a very difficult, complex left shoulder injury. It resulted in a shoulder dislocation, labrum tear, humeral avulsion of the glenohumeral ligament, glenoid fracture, and he only missed missed 4 games because of the COVID season. So he basically just tore that shoulder apart, and he did everything he could damage-wise in there. And then in 2021, he suffered a meniscus tear, possibly in his left knee. That took some digging to find out potentially what side it was, but a lot of injuries, and I wasn't crazy about that. But I will say left shoulder injury, I was concerned about the labrum, but they said for the re-injury risk for this, there is very little risk to have him suffer an injury to that again. So my interpretation was he did so much damage, they put it back together, you're good to go. I just worry about the durability with all the broken bones, and sometimes you can't stop that stuff, but you know, injuries beget injuries at some point there. And then a little worried about the meniscus because you can see the arthritis creep in, but it's also football. He's going to get banged up.
Yeah, that's concerning, man. I mean, this guy's going to play linebacker in the NFL, you know, play special teams, tackle people, take on blocks in the hole. I mean, your shoulder's got to be able to hold up, man. Like,
yeah.
Top 100 pick.
Yeah,
I'm concerned.
I wasn't nuts about it. Yeah, when I was doing that there. So I do have one point off of that, though, which gives me, you know, that I like there. So I talked about this a little bit last year. I've dug into this and I have two different articles about it. The Bills have a pattern with drafting. Now, Joe, take out your notebook, whatever you got to do here. So they avoid anybody in the first or second rounds with any ligament damage, anything that they've missed a ton of games. Now, the exception of that is fractures. A guy could miss 10 games with a broken ankle. So I think we saw that with Gregory Rousseau. Fractures are not worrisome, but they avoid anything that's significant ligament stuff. So your ACLs, your labrums, your season-ending meniscus, stuff like that there. So they avoid any of that stuff, any back stuff. So they pick guys that are durable. Third round is where they take a crack at there. So like that free agency approach where they say that, you know, they're going to take a risk on guys. I think they look at the guy that, okay, who has the greatest amount of talent, but there was some risk there with that. They have a distinct pattern. They did that with Dawson Knox. They did it with Harrison Phillips. Zach Moss had some issues coming out of college. So like it's a distinct pattern. This goes back 5 years. So when you're looking at draft analysis stuff next year, Joe, put this nugget away, and I guarantee they're going to do it. I mean, Brandon Bean maybe will throw something at you, but they have a pattern, and that's what it is.
So I'm going to start mocking the Bills. Like, super clean injury guys, first round, second round, but then we're taking a chance in the third round every time.
Absolutely. So, do that. I think if you could place a bet on that, I think you'd make some money.
So you could count on this. Next April, there's going to be an episode of Locked On Bills titled the injured players the Bills could take in the third round. And you're going to come on with me. We're going to do this. We're going to do it.
I'm down. Yeah.
So you go ahead and start thinking about it. So next year in April, we're going to see if we can come up with this third round injury flyer. And look, they like to keep that pick, right? The Bills will trade that fourth round pick all the time, right? Oh, they're constantly trading their fourth round pick. But they like to have that third rounder, so it's going to be there. We're going to put magnifying glasses on, and we're going to figure this thing out.
All right.
Anything else we got to talk about? I mean, we've covered a lot here, but you know, certainly want to leave it open here to make sure we get to everything you wanted to get to.
We covered most of them. I know a lot of people love Khalil Shakir. I feel like it's worth mentioning him at least. He's had a few injuries, left knee sprain, left hamstring strain. He did suffer a foot fracture in his fifth metatarsal, required surgery in early 2021 in the offseason. But otherwise, he's pretty clean. And the fifth metatarsal, everybody starts thinking about Jones fracture. But based off the wording and what he did, what happened was he suffered the injury in week 2. He taped it up and played through that there. So it sounded like it was more of a shaft of the fifth metatarsal fracture. So they required surgery just to heal it back up, and he hadn't had any issues last year in 2021. So I just want to make sure that clarify that this wasn't Jones fracture. This was just regular, you know, broken bone, just didn't heal up and required surgery. And then you know, the other one was Baylen Spector, which we're not even sure if he's going to make the team just based off the depth here, but he had some shoulder issues in 2020 and 2021, and then a right hand fracture. And he played the East-West Shrine game with a cast on his hand. So, you know, they take risk in the later rounds, but they try to find guys who they can either put on practice squad or maybe can make that team, you know, based off of the position they play.
Ladies and gentlemen, he's Dr. Kyle Trimble, Dr. of Physical Therapy. He runs bangedupbills.com, contributor over at Buffalo Rumblings. I've seen your work on Cover One. You're here on Locked On Bills. So if you want to understand injuries as it relates to the Buffalo Bills, this is your guy. Follow him on Twitter at bangedupbills. All right, folks, that's going to do it for us here today on the podcast and this week here on the podcast. I certainly enjoyed everything and hope that you have as well. As always, I do kindly ask that you share, subscribe, rate, and review. Have a great weekend, and I look forward to catching up with you again on Monday.